On Thursday's front page, the Obama administration is going ahead with a major arms sale to Iraq, despite concerns about Prime Minister Nouri Kamal al-Maliki. In this country, there are, for the first time in 3 decades, more women in school than in the workforce. And we'll look at the parallel informal economy that's generating growth in India. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Obama administration is going ahead with an $11 billion weapons sale to Iraq. The deal includes advanced fighter jets and tanks. The idea is to help the Iraqi military rebuild and get on with protecting the country's borders. The Obama administration also wants a hedge against Iran. Some analysts fear the weapons deal could backfire. It could strengthen Prime Minister Nouri Kamal al-Maliki's apparent efforts to consolidate his power and establish Shiite dominance, and that could put Baghdad closer to Iraq than the U.S. So what's behind the shrinking labor force? That's what drove down unemployment in November. At first, economists thought the reason was discouraged older workers who were giving up on the job market. Times reporter Catherine Rampell says there's another explanation. The people dropping out of the labor force are mostly women. Many are young women who are going back to school and upgrading their skills. That's why there are, for the first time in more than 30 years, more women in school than in the workforce. Their male counterparts are more likely to take whatever job they can find. Also on the front page, New York City's education department has failed to get millions in Medicaid reimbursements. It's entitled to the money for services it provided to special needs students. Apparently, the department is not adapted to new rules that were imposed after a devastating federal audit forced the city to return money it had received for claims it couldn't document. Times reporter Fernanda Santos says the result is the city is not billing Medicaid for things for which it should be reimbursed. Thursday's front page looks at the parallel informal economy in India's slums. In Mumbai's infamous Dharavi slum, it's part Dickens, part Horatio Alger, and part Upton Sinclair. Dharavi's annual economic output is estimated at more than $600 million. That's separate from India's formal economy, where people pay taxes and stick to labor regulations. Experts say the informal sector is responsible for the overwhelming majority of India's annual economic growth and as much as 90% of employment. Most of the Catholic Charities affiliates in Illinois are closing rather than comply with an anti-gay bias rule. The rule says they can no longer receive state money if they turn away same-sex couples as adoptive or foster care parents. For the nation's Roman Catholic bishops, the shutdown is a prime example of what they see as an escalating campaign by government to trample on their religious freedom while expanding the rights of gay people. Bishop Thomas Propotsky of Springfield, Illinois, says, "In the name of tolerate, we're not being tolerated." It's been a rough first year for Oakland, California Mayor Jean Kwan, who's a Democrat and Oakland's first Asian American mayor. She's the object of not one, but 2 recall campaigns after several about-faces involving the Occupy Oakland protesters. One recall move was started by a black community activist, the other by a white former mayoral candidate. Ron Paul's army of college-age volunteers is the envy of rival GOP hopefuls. The volunteers say they're under strict orders, look, dress, and behave in a way that won't hurt Paul's chances in the Iowa caucuses. Some volunteers say they were told to cover up tattoos. They were also told to shave or at least trim their beards. And they were told to wear nice clothes that one Paul volunteer described as business casual. Inside Thursday's Times, schmoozing is not high on President Obama's agenda. People in both parties in Washington say his relationship with Washington insiders is remote, distant, and perfunctory. They also say that aloofness is a potential liability. Democratic strategist James Carville calls him the anti-Lincoln bedroom president. That's a reference to the room in the White House where President Bill Clinton put up supporters back in the 1990s. Carville says Mr. Obama doesn't seem to relish or even like having politicians around. Here in New York, the rules have been clear for years. Enjoy Central Park by day, keep out at night. Well, that's so last decade, maybe even so last century. The park now hums with runners and cyclists well into the night. Criminals, not so much. 17 robberies were reported in the park through mid-December, down from 37 in 2001 and 731 30 years ago in 1981. Only two rapes have been reported this year. The last homicide in the park was in 2002. In Thursday's Business Day section, high oil prices are here to stay. Experts say oil prices are likely to hover above $100 a barrel in 2012. Traders are concerned about tensions in Iran. It's threatening to cut off about a fifth of the world's oil supply by closing the Strait of Hormuz. At the same time, continuing arrest in Iraq could keep it from increasing production. Also in Thursday's Business Day section, India's investment in the sun. 2 years ago, India announced plans to increase its use of solar power and modernize its electric grid by the year 2020. Many analysts said it couldn't be done. Companies are taking advantage of subsidies and a drop in the price of solar panels. Times reporter Vikas Bajaj says they're covering India's flat northwest with thousands of solar panels and selling the electricity they generate. The chimpanzee that starred with Johnny Weissmuller in the Tarzan movies has died. Cheetah appeared in films made in the early 1930s. He was a comic sidekick whose intelligence sometimes seemed to rival that of his human co-stars. Cheetah the chimpanzee was reportedly about 80 years old. He died of kidney failure at an animal sanctuary in Florida. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.